Hello, and thank you for joining us for Options Talk with OIC. I'm your host, Joe Burgoyne, Director of Retail Marketing at the Options Industry Council. OIC is a nonprofit initiative that was created to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. We offer a variety of resources to those interested in learning more about options, including live seminars and webcasts. So here are a couple ways you can stay in touch. Become a fan of OIC on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at options_edu. And join our group, OIC, on LinkedIn. Today we are going to be speaking with industry experts about some of the latest topics impacting the options industry. Knowing how to implement a calendar spread is something that every investor at one point or another will find to be useful. Today, we are going to get into the mechanics of using it as a trading strategy. But before we get started, let me state that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting www.optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. To keep things simple, commissions, fees, margin interest, and taxes have not been included in the examples used in this podcast. Multiple leg strategies involve multiple commission charges. These costs will impact the outcome of all stock and option transactions and must be considered prior to entering into any transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential tax consequences. None of the information presented in this podcast should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. So let's introduce our guest for today's topic on calendar spreads. We've got Russell Rhodes, CFA, and an instructor at the Chicago Board Options Exchange. Russell, thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks for having me today.
Now, Russell, what do you do over at the CBO?
I'm one of the four instructors for the Options Institute at the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I teach classes to a variety of individuals and develop the course content that goes into our classes, as well as some of the educational content that goes onto our website. In addition to that, I recently finished a book on spread trading that does have a chapter dedicated to calendar spreads.
Well, fantastic. It's great to have you here today. Also joining us is Bill Ryan from the OIC Call Center, a senior specialist at the Options Clearing Corporation. Bill, what do you do over at the OCC?
Joe, our big job is helping investors and traders learn more about options and options trading. We illustrate the benefits and the risks of options and try to answer any questions they pose us.
And you do a great job at it. So thank you, Bill, for being here. Now, let's get right into today's topic. Calendar spreads are another strategy that investors may want to incorporate into their trading arsenal. Russell, how about if you start out by defining a calendar spread for us?
Sure. A calendar spread involves trading two options with the same strike that have the same underlying security. The difference between the two options is the expiration date and that one option is purchased and the other option is sold. For instance, if we take an XYZ November 40 call and an XYZ December 40 call, then when one is sold and the other is purchased, we have a time spread. Commonly, the near month is sold and the farther month is purchased. At expiration of the near-term option, the goal is to benefit more from the value lost by the short near-term option than the value lost by the long option that still has some time left to expiration. However, it is possible to do the opposite of this trade if you believe the near-term option will outperform the longer-term option.
But in that instance, the investor has to watch that theta being long that front month, you know, in the calendar spread.
Absolutely. Theta definitely comes into play. You know, it's a time spread, and theta gives us an idea of how time passage is going to impact the value of an option.
Okay.
So, you know, in the calendar spread, it's actually considered a long calendar spread when the option with more time to expiration is purchased and a short calendar spread when the option with more time to expiration is sold. The position name is based on the action taken for the farther out option. You know, although called long or short, a calendar spread is really considered more of a neutral strategy. This is due to the maximum profit for a calendar spread occurring if the stock closes at a specific price right at expiration of the short-dated option.
Now, can a calendar be bullish or bearish?
Oh, absolutely. If your expectation is for a stock price to be very close to a strike price at expiration that's higher than where the stock is trading right now, that would be a bullish biased calendar spread.
Okay.
And in the other direction, if you felt like the stock was going to drop to a certain price level, you could put on a calendar spread that benefits from a stock moving lower.
Good to know. Anything else?
Sure. Finally, something that investors should always keep in mind relative to calendar spreads is that upon expiration of the shorter dated option contract, the longer dated option position will still be open. Some sort of trading decision as to holding the contract, exiting the position, or possibly creating a new spread that uses this position will need to be made.
Excellent, Russell. That hits the nail right on the head. Now, Bill, what's a good example that would demonstrate how a calendar spread may work through expiration?
Well, Joe, a trader might consider buying a January 2012 $45 call at $5.50 and simultaneously selling a March 2011 $45 call at $1.50. Ideally, the near-term contract finishes out of the money and unexercised. The calendar spread trader would then consider which near-term $45 call option contract to sell against their longer January 12 call option. Most traders would consider this strategy near-term neutral and perhaps longer-term bullish. They would prefer that the stock close just under the $45 strike price in March 2011.
That's a good example, Bill. Now, Russell, what about volatility? How does that impact calendar spreads?
Well, you know, the goal of a long calendar spread can be twofold. You have a stock close at a price level that is close to the strike price of the options in the spread, and also benefit from the time decay difference between the long and short options. Specifically, have the short option lose more value than the long option. Volatility can be a pretty tricky piece of the puzzle when trading a calendar spread. Remember, if a long calendar spread is traded, there will be an option position left open when the shorter dated option reaches expiration. A dramatic change in implied volatility may have an impact on the price of that option. As higher implied volatility results in higher option prices, this would be a benefit to a long option position, but have a negative impact on a short option position.
That volatility aspect is subtle, but very important in the calendar spreads.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Now, Bill, how does early exercise and assignment impact the calendar spreads?
Well, Joe, early exercise and assignment most likely means the trade is over and that a maximum loss level has been reached. Calendar spread traders that are trying to minimize assignment risk may wish to consider those securities that rarely pay dividends. This can reduce early assignment risk for call options.
Now, we've always got to talk about benefits and risks when talking about any trading strategy. Russell, you want to take that one?
Sure. With most spread trades, we can determine the risk and reward if held to expiration. However, when determining the profit loss on a calendar spread, the price of the option that will have time left to expiration is estimated based on assumptions about the market. Usually, assuming no change in implied volatility is one of the easiest methods of determining the value of the option at some point in the future.
Easiest, but not always realistic.
Absolutely. Since implied volatility does change over time, the value of an option is unlikely to be exactly the same as your estimated price in the future. This holds true even if all other pricing factors you estimated were correct. Because of this, it is possible to have the results of a calendar spread differ due to a difference in implied volatility.
Good point.
Yep. Again, if implied volatility moves higher, then the option price will be higher. This could result in a much higher profit than estimated for a long calendar spread. On the flip side, a big drop in implied volatility could result in the open option value being much lower than estimated. This result will cause the option to have much less value than estimated. A nice thing about a long calendar spread is the maximum potential loss is known when the trade is initiated. A long calendar spread is initiated at a debit or cost, and that is equal to the maximum potential loss of the trade.
Always an important aspect for investors to know that downside risk.
You bet.
Bill?
Joe, I'd like to add something while we're talking about the advantages of calendar spreads. There is also a way for a calendar spread to be turned into a vertical spread, which can be a real benefit for investors. Earlier, we mentioned that a calendar spread trader would prefer that the nearer-term contract expire out of the money and unexercised. If this expiration scenario does occur on more than one or two occasions, the strategist might consider changing this income-producing neutral strategy into a decidedly bullish strategy by converting the calendar call spread into a vertical spread, simply selling a higher strike call option expiring in the same month, in this case January 2012, as the previously purchased January 2012 $45 call.
That's excellent stuff, Bill. Well, I wish we had more time, but we're going to have to wrap it up for today. I'd like to thank Bill and Russell for coming by today. Russell is an OIC instructor, so be sure to keep an eye out for him on the seminar circuit. If you ever want to talk to Bill or any of his knowledgeable staff of colleagues about any options-related questions, they are available through the OIC Help Desk. Reach out to them at 1-888-OPTIONS. Don't forget to check out our website, www.optionseducation.org. There's plenty there to assist you in learning more about options. We're always looking for your feedback on the show as well. So email us at options@theocc.com. And lastly, don't forget the social links we provided at the beginning of our show. You can join us on LinkedIn, become a fan on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. And remember, a little options education goes a long way.